Hello, this is Ben Cole, Associate Editor with SearchCompliance.com. I'm joined today by Kevin Beaver, an information security consultant at Principal Logic LLC. In this podcast, we'll discuss the payment card industry data security standard and the strategies you need to consider to keep your company PCI DSS compliant. Thanks for joining us today, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me.
So, Kevin, are you noticing any specific tools or tactics that are on the cutting edge of PCI compliance right now, or are companies still struggling to find exactly what works?
Well, I'm finding that companies are still struggling to pull everything together. You know, I think out of all of the regulations that businesses are up against, I think PCI compliance is probably the most well-received and the most well-implemented, but yet I still see organizations. I mean, you hear about breaches, you see it in the headlines. I see this stuff all the time in my work where organizations are just struggling to keep their heads above water because of, you know, not because of the prescriptive nature of PCI compliance, not because, okay, we've got to implement A, B, and C. It's really because of the culture, the politics, the lack of support, the lack of funding that IT and compliance and information risk managers are up against. So, yeah, there are some good tools. There are some excellent ways to automate some of this stuff. But as far as cutting edge, not necessarily. I still think we've got a long ways to go.
Okay. So what type of organization-wide strategies should companies be considering around maintaining PCI compliance, especially in regards to areas such as change management, security policies, and incident response plans?
Well, it all starts with understanding what your requirements are. You know, it depends on what level of PCI compliance you have to attain. It could be that PCI compliance is not a direct requirement of your organization, but maybe you have business partners that are requesting it, or customers that are requesting it. So you've got to step back and ask yourself, what is it we're up against? And then you have to find out where you're at risk. You know, the PCI defines very clearly what falls under the umbrella, what is quote-unquote in scope. And you have to go in and into that area and determine where your risks are, because if you don't understand your risks, you're not going to know what policies to put in place. You're not going to understand what type of technologies are going to be the best fit. You're not going to be able to tweak your processes to meet those requirements. So requirements and risks, and then putting stuff in place and then making it happen, implementing it properly, making it happen, and then going back and reassessing it over and over and over again. Those are the key things.
Sure. What about documentation? Can you talk a little bit about some specific language that is considered a must-have in companies' documentation that outlines how it'll achieve PCI compliance and protect customer information?
Yeah, documentation is one of those unsexy sides of IT and security that no one really wants to address. No one wants to spend much time or effort on it because it's boring. You know, nobody wants to do that work. I've certainly done my fair share of it, and I can sympathize with the people that are having to do it. You know, again, this goes back to risks. You've got to understand what's at risk. You've got to understand what your requirements are. And then you put the documentation in place that helps to implement the policies, implement the procedures, and facilitate the security risk management moving forward. As far as specific wording, yeah, it just depends. Every environment is different. You definitely want to get your lawyer involved. They're really good with the wording aspect of it. IT folks should not be the ones writing the policies alone. Yeah, they may can go off and write the specific verbiage, but that needs to be part of a larger committee of executives, of legal, HR, because, you know, there's a lot of different components in this. And really, at the end of the day, you probably don't need PCI-specific policies. Look at this from a general information risk perspective. You know, address information security at a high level. And if you do that, then you can be PCI compliant, and then you can be compliant with all the other regulations that your organization must or may be up against. So, you know, try not to silo PCI wherever you can, because you're going to end up pigeonholing yourself and and, you know, just try to manage information risk from a higher level, and again, have the right people on board so you can get the proper verbiage and things like that to make sure the business is covered.
Sure. So why do you think some companies are still struggling to stay PCI compliant and to prevent PCI breaches? Is it just a lack of foresight by those that need to stay compliant, or are the regulations just difficult to adhere to?
Well, you know, I certainly don't envy the people, especially in you know, mid-level enterprises and larger enterprises that are having to implement PCI and ensure ongoing compliance, because information systems complexity really drives a lot of that. If the environment is highly complex, if you have hundreds of systems involved and dozens of applications and databases, that really throws a wrench into things and can be really difficult to implement word for word. If you look at the, you know, prescriptive advice or prescriptive requirements of PCI, overall, I would say it is a resource thing. And in fact, the Poneman Institute, I recall a survey they did not long ago. It was called the State of Global IT Security Study. And they found that the main reasons why the appropriate steps are not being taken to improve security are insufficient resources, not a priority issue, and then lack of clear leadership. So I think, you know, we can go to management all day long and say, well, we're going to lose our credit card capabilities, and we're going to get into lots of trouble and have to pay these large fines and this and that. But, you know, they still don't hear it. They don't get it. And I do think a lot of it falls on those of us in IT. We're just not conveying the message properly. We're not speaking at their level on their terms. We're not keeping them in the loop when it comes to security and compliance. So they just sort of see all this PCI stuff is one of those IT things that those people in IT are handling, and that's really the basis of a lot of this. So we've got to be careful, and we need to try to fix that.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question. So let's say the nightmare scenario comes true, and despite IT security precautions, a PCI breach occurs. What does a company need to do to restore its PCI DSS security reputation and reassure customers? Are there any lessons they can take after the breach to make sure it does not happen again?
Absolutely. I've been involved in several projects that involved credit card PCI-related breaches, and it really all starts with your plan. You know, what are your plans and procedures for responding to a breach once it occurs? You know, it's very, very rare for me to see an incident response plan that's actually documented. A lot of people they're just going to wing it when something happens, and that's not a really good approach to security, and especially not going to be favorable in the eyes of your business partners, the cardholder brands, the PCI Security Standards Council, and other folks, even a judge and a jury if it gets to that point. So you've got to be careful. You know, just you've got to make sure you have everything documented. You've got to just treat PCI and really information security in general as a business issue, because it is a business issue. You know, you've got to just be professional and methodical about it and get all the right people on board and, you know, make sure you're heading in the right direction. And maybe the most important thing to remember here is that you can never, ever assume that you're not a target. You know, I hear a lot of executives say, well, we're a small company, or we don't have anything the bad guys would want, or we have a firewall antivirus and encryption, so we're secure. But you can't go down that path. You've really got to learn from other people's mistakes. And if you have an incident response plan in place, and when the you know what hits the fan, if you follow your steps, your procedures, you pull in the right experts from the outside, investigators, security consultants, compliance experts, lawyers, whoever, you pull them in. You address the issue in a methodical process, methodical way, keeping all the key players in the loop. You know, I don't think you can go wrong. And the important thing is to just expect it to spill. Something probably is going to happen eventually, and it's not about keeping it from happening. It's just about how you address the actual breach and the incident once it does occur so you can minimize the impact on your business.
Great. That's all the time we have for today's podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today, Kevin.
Thanks, Ben.
And thanks to all the listeners for joining us. For SearchCompliance.com, this is Ben Cole.